week's podcast, we look back on a recent conversation with Eliza Blue and Christian Begeman to discuss their new show, Wish You Were Here. And then, we're going to take a listen to a recording from Eliza Blue and friends inside a tiny church in Perkins County. But first, Wish You Were Here. It's a show where Eliza Blue gathers artists around to make music and explore the landscape of South Dakota. Here's Eliza with In the Moment host Lori Walsh.
Eliza, tell me a little bit about Wish You Were Here.
Well, it's essentially a traveling concert. We sort of jokingly said at first that it was a variety show with no variety, since it's myself and then a band, The Wild Violets. But what does change is the landscape. So we for these first four episodes, we travel to four different locations and give you a little bit of a history. And then obviously Christian's work is, his work as a photographer, I think speaks for itself. And so we really wanted the landscape to be almost a character in each episode. So we really try to focus on the uniqueness of that place. And in some cases, that's the geography. Sometimes it's the people that inhabit. One of the episodes, we go to Lemon, South Dakota, to John Lopez's gallery, so we can showcase some of his amazing sculpture work and the gallery space he's created there. So,
yeah, Christian, tell me a little bit about your photography and how you kind of approach a new place as it intersects with this project, because now it's not just an image, you know, for yourself. Or does it matter, you know, what the image is going to end up, how it's going to end up living in the world? Does that make a difference to how you sort of set things up?
You know, it's a really good question, because typically when I'm out shooting photos, I'm not thinking about video. And when Eliza kind of approached me about this, we set up to shoot these first four episodes basically over about 2.5 to 3 days at the end of September, which is usually when I take a vacation anyway to just go shoot fall colors across the state. So I spent extra time, particularly in the Slim Buttes area, which is absolutely beautiful in the fall, not only taking photos, but then, okay, I need to get video for this, because this is going to be one of our locations. So yeah, video and photo, even though it's the same kind of rectangular square you're looking at, it's different, and you have to think about it differently. So it was a good stretch for me, and a good extra exercise. And then of course, when you get to like John Lopez's sculptures, that's a lot of detail. That's showing off the amazing intricate work that he does. So it's not like one wide landscape photo. So yeah, it's a different mindset, but all good.
Yeah,
and a growing experience.
Yeah, Christian, do you think, so one of the, I don't know how to explain this really, but when I see your images, because I follow you online, they do something for me that not only do I see things in a new way, but often things that I've seen before with my eyes, but they also free me from thinking that I have to take the picture myself. And so I don't, because all of a sudden it's just like you're capturing it in a way that I never could. And that gives me a sense of contentment, which is a very hard thing to explain to you. But so my question to you though is, do you think about the people who see your photographs and how it might impact them?
Well, first of all, thank you for the kind compliment. That's nice to hear. And second, yeah, I mean, it is definitely layered experience, because you shoot the photos because, as Eliza likes to put it, for the joy. You're out there and you're just enjoying God's creation and you want to capture it and share it. And that's the second part. So yeah, I think about sharing it with friends and family, and, you know, not only because, hey, look at this cool place, but hey, you know, we get to live here, and yes, there are problems, but guess what? This is still a pretty amazing, unique place that offers beauty, and not just beauty all at once, but beauty at different times of the day, whether it's early morning, whether it's under the blazing sun with hard shadows at noon, or in the soft evening light. There's beauty, and there's beauty not only in the vastness, but also the intricate detail of the tall prairie grass waving in the wind.
Yeah. Well said. This is Moment in Sound. We are going to wrap in some of that music, and Eliza and Christian sent us some a little previews. So this song is called Go Where I Send Thee. And Eliza, before we play this, tell us a little something about this song, or where you're seated with the group when you played it, recorded it.
And we decided to stay a little closer to home. So this is actually recorded in a little country church that's about 10 miles from my house, and incidentally is where I got married, because it's the church itself is on the land where my husband's grandmother was born and raised, and her grandparents were the original homesteaders of.
Wow. You know, Eliza, I'm looking on your Facebook page at a photo Christian took of filming of this and the inside of the little church. You can just hear all that sort of happening. What was that moment like for you to sit and play and feel that kind of energy of the space and this time?
Well, I have to say, in general, playing in old churches is always thrilling, because those old buildings, you know, most of them were built when amplification wasn't an option. So they were built to really hold and carry sound in a different way. And a lot of times, you know, even around in the church, it'll sound really different. And the front of the church is often, it's, you know, constructed in such a way that the sound really carries. And as a musician, there is something really thrilling about it. When you can hear the reverb yourself, it's like morale boosting. And it sounds good without even having to go in the studio to fix it up. So it's always a thrill to play in a cool sounding room. And that church in particular, I just love, because the way it's up in the hill, the light streaming in, it's just, the views are beautiful. The light is beautiful. It's just a wonderful place to just sit in contemplation. And so, yeah, playing music there is even just, I think, one more level up in terms of it just, it feels great. It's a great place to get to share yeah. songs.
This next piece is called Tati's Song. Tell us a little bit about this this song and where you recorded this.
Well, this song, I just love. I'm really proud of this song because we, so the band, The Wild Violets, is Todd and Judy Larson, who are married and live just north of Lemon, and then Mason Dwin, who is a percussionist. And so when we were deciding where we wanted to shoot these different episodes, John Lopez's gallery just, of course, was kind of an easy one because it's such an amazing space and there's so much to, you know, visually to focus on. And he has his most recent sculpture is out in the sculpture garden that they're building next to the gallery. And it's called the Tree of Life. And if go look at pictures, it's really cool. And even better, go see it in real life because it's just beautiful. So we were thinking about the Tree of Life as we were, you know, creating the episode and trying to think of some themes that we wanted to touch on. And John's mother, whose nickname is Tati, she actually came from the East out and, you know, was not planning. I think she came as an Anglican missionary, but I'm not sure about that. But she came out and I don't think was planning to stay. It was supposed to be temporary and then fell in love with this place and ended up getting married and raising her family. And so we thought that was obviously specific to her, but it's such a universal story, I think, and relates to the Tree of Life. So we wrote this song. It was partly based on a poem that Judy had started writing about a homesteader woman and coming out to the prairie. And then Todd and I worked up some more lyrics and added the melody. So yeah, it's inspired by Tati and John's sculpture, The Tree of Life.
I love this song. All right, Tati's Song.
She brought her from back east and from a seed its size increased. Mostly stick, gray and black, roots wrapped up in a gunny sack. On the prairie she found wonder in the rolling hills and mighty thunder, so she dug a hole, laid in the roots and built a house with a new tin roof. Years they passed out on the prairie, some were sad but most were merry. Funerals, weddings, children grew, and within that small tree grew too. The tree grew too.
Listen to some of that music from Eliza Blue. She played for us with Todd Larson and Todd's daughter Rachel Larson of Lemon. This audio was captured from inside that tiny church in Perkins County. Enjoy.
If you drive down a certain high and winding road in my home county, amidst the curves and expansive views, you will notice a small country church at the foot of a tall, pointed butte. The church is as humble as the butte is grand, just a simple wooden structure with a narrow peaked roof. The church is called the Little White Church on the Hill by some, the Rabbit Butte Church by others. The church itself was built in Lodgepole, South Dakota, around 1918. It served as the meeting place for Catholic parishioners until the 1970s when it was moved to Bison, South Dakota. It was eventually gifted to Brad and Fern Besler, who, with the help of family and friends, moved it to its current location beside Rabbit Butte in 2004. Since then, the little church has hosted countless family funerals, baptisms, and weddings, including, incidentally, my own. The land upon which the church sits is where my husband's Grandma Esther and her 12 siblings grew up. And for many on that side of the family, when they think of going home for Christmas, Rabbit Butte is where they think of going. Esther remembers making popcorn ropes and paper circles for their Christmas decoration. "We had real candles that we clamped on the tree," she says. Like so many other homesteading families, the Beslers persevered through the long Dakota winters of hardship and deprivation, but they found ways to enjoy themselves too. During the Depression years, there wasn't much money for toys, so two of Esther's brothers, Oscar and Elmer, built their own bobsled out of scrap wood and old nails they'd straightened. They finished their masterpiece just after a snowstorm blanketed Rabbit Butte, and they decided to start at the top of the butte and ride the 3/4 of a mile down to their own front door. Halfway there, they were thrown from the sled, which was a stroke of luck, as the prized vehicle raced on without them and immediately collided with a rock. Still able to find humor in the tragedy, they dubbed their creation the Titanic, since it was destroyed on its maiden voyage. Starting in January, we are going to be sharing stories and songs from locations all across the great state of South Dakota as part of a new series called Wish You Were Here. But for this special Christmas episode, we are sticking a little closer to home to offer some comfort and joy and to celebrate the season of light. Hello and welcome to Rabbit Butte Church, where we are recording live today. So I'm Eliza Blue, and I've got two good friends with me here, Todd Larson and his daughter, Rachel Larson, and they are going to be joining me to sing and play some Christmas tunes for you. So some of these will be familiar, some of them less familiar, and we totally invite you to sing along at home if you want to. We think it's good for the soul to sing, so especially this next one, we think you should join in if the Spirit moves you to do so.
Down where he lay. am a huge fan of Christmas caroling and Christmas songs in general. So for this next tune, we decided we are going to do a non-traditional take on a bunch of traditional songs so that we can just get in as many favorites as possible at once.
God rest you merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born upon this day. To save us all from Satan's power, we were gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. O tidings of comfort. God, our Heavenly Father, this blessed angel came, and to certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. O tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. O tidings of comfort and
is by Anne Bronte, and I thought it was perfect for our show today. It's called Music on Christmas. Music I love, but never strain, could kindle raptures so divine, so grief assuage, so conquer pain, and rouse this pensive heart of mine. As that we hear on Christmas morn, upon the wintry breezes borne. Though darkness still her empire keep, and hours must pass ere morning break, from troubled dreams or slumbers deep, that music kindly bids us wake, to call us with an angel's voice, to wake and worship and rejoice, to greet with joy the glorious morn which angels welcomed long ago, when our redeeming Lord was born, to bring the light of heaven below, the powers of darkness to dispel, to rescue earth from death and hell. While listening to that sacred strain, my raptured spirit soars on high. I seem to hear those songs again, resounding through the open sky, that kindled such divine delight in those who watched their flocks by night.
Come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonesome exile here, till the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Come, thou dayspring, come and cheer. Spirits by thine advent here, drive away the shades of night and pierce the clouds and bring us light. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations, bind people in one heart and bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease, and fill all the world with heavenly peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. Come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
The next song we're going to play for you is actually two less well-known Christmas tunes, but these are old traditional folk songs that I personally love and play all year round.
To when I go out.
the early homesteaders to this region were from Scandinavia, and they brought with them all kinds of different traditions, including one called Saint Lucia Day or Santa Lucia Day. And this tradition would happen right before the winter solstice, which would be the darkest night of the year. And the oldest girl in the house would fashion a wreath that she would wear as a crown and put candles in the wreath. And she would come before dawn carrying a tray of coffee and buns to serve the family as a Christmas breakfast. And that would be the beginning of the Christmas season. Now, if you can imagine living out on the plains in the days before electricity or when maybe you had electricity, the long nights of winter would have felt very, very long and very, very dark. And certainly coming from Scandinavia, they would have been no strangers to darkness. But you can imagine celebrating the light returning was a really big part of every year and a really exciting part of every year. So we wanted to share a song with you that is very popular all throughout Europe, especially in Scandinavia. And each country, there's a Swedish version, there's a Norwegian version. I grew up in a Swedish church, so we actually sang this song in Swedish, but we're going to share it now with you in English.
Hark through the dark night, sounds come a-winging. Lo, 'tis the Queen of Light, joyfully sing. Clad in her garments white, wearing her crown of light, Santa Lucia, Santa Lucia. Clad in her garments white, wearing her crown of light, Santa Lucia, Santa Lucia.
Ago, on New Year's Day, I went out walking in the small pasture where our horses run wild during the winter months. The sun hung low in the sky. There was a ceiling of pearly gray clouds above the light, leaving only a thin strip of blue. But the golden beams shimmering below the cover of clouds illuminated the fields and the sparkling crust of snow. In the distance, the horses galloped across the convergence of land and sky and light. 2019, I have a good feeling about this year, I wrote that night, and I meant it. I thought often of that day and of writing those words. What I didn't know then was that none of the secret dreams I was harboring or the plans I was laying would come to pass. Much of 2019 and 2020 was spent doing the sacred work of grieving, as well as the sacred work of discovering the person I would become in the aftermath of loss. When I was a young woman, I remember reading the words of the poet Khalil Gibran. The deeper sorrow carves into your being, the more joy you can contain. And I felt frightened. I did not want to be pierced by the sharp knives of grief, even if it increased my capacity for joy. Young and mostly untested by life, I hoped there could be a way to get to joy without suffering. Well, I'm not frightened anymore. I've experienced the truth of his words and the peace that comes with that truth. I am a different I than I was 24 months ago, weary in ways I didn't know existed, but also deeply thankful. Thankful for the circle of my husband's arms and for the laughter of my children, for the quiet sweetness of our life here on the prairie, and for the earth and its heartrending beauty. I am also thankful for the holiness of the spirit that sometimes arises and guides us through darkness. I am thankful even for the darkness, which allows us to know the blessedness of light. With all this in mind, yesterday I took my children down to the north pasture to search for materials to make an Advent wreath. We gathered silver sage leaves, striped turkey feathers, scarlet buffalo berries dried on their slim thorns, and the golden ghosts of aster's stems. Back at home, I molded a wide ring with the salt dough, and we added the items we'd collected to the circle. The kids both suddenly seemed so grown up, working busily, chatting quietly with each other. We added the candles, and we lit the first one. Behind us, our Christmas tree twinkled with color. The reflections of the tiny bulbs were sprinkled across the shadowed kitchen window like a thousand bright stars, carrying the warmth of our little house out into the long, deep night. A reminder that darkness cannot hold us forever. The time is fast approaching when we will once again turn toward the light.
Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree, how lovely are thy branches. Oh Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree, how lovely are thy branches. Thou art green in summertime, but also in the winter time. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, how lovely are thy branches.
Well, thank you again so much for joining us. It has been a pleasure to play for you. And we'd also like to thank the Besler family for letting us use their church today for our little concert. So we are going to finish up with another song that I'm pretty sure you'll know. And again, I invite you to sing along at home. Singing is good for the soul, especially around this time of year, I think. So we're gonna play Silent Night for our final song. Streaming from heaven afar.
So tender and mild. See.